Good morning, this is Joaquin Flores, geopolitical analyst, and we are here in Eastern Europe. It's Monday morning, March 7th, and just giving you sort of overview of what's going on, because what you're seeing reportage-wise is a lot of different images, maybe of action or video of different action, and that doesn't really tell you what's going on. That's a very first-person kind of view, and what you need is a bird's-eye view. And even though you might see maps that show movements, it's not really describing what's behind movement or lack of movement. So as of this morning, what you have is, again, on the Russian side, they're trying to get a ceasefire going for Kharkov, Sumy, Mariupol, and Kiev, which is the capital. And they want to make sure that civilians get out. From a tactical and strategic perspective, this conflict is over. They control the skies, Russia controls the skies. And the different Ukrainian units and battalions don't have good operational command. They don't have communication between each other, and the chain of command is largely broken down because of a lot of communication problems. There is a humanitarian crisis because there are still tens and tens of thousands of armed Ukrainian fighters, and they know that as soon as civilians can get out, that it's game over, because then there's nothing stopping operation from moving forward very quickly. So they're basically using civilians as human shields in all of these areas that I've mentioned, these little towns, where they're fairly mid-sized little cities, and Kiev, the capital, which is a very large international city. Mariupol in the south, and Sumy and Kharkov, or Kharkiv, if you will, in the north by north. East, but really to say the north, Kharkiv is in the northeast, and Sumy is a little bit west of there and farther north, if I recall. And then Mariupol is way in the south on the Black Sea. All of those three places would be potentially in the breakaway republic. Sumy and Kharkiv have their support for it among civilians there. They give you an idea. Not as strong as the support has been historically, not as strong rather in Donetsk and Lugansk, but now in light of how Ukraine has dealt with this, with using the population, embedding themselves in apartment buildings and the use of human shields, people are not going to forgive that, because they know what's going on. Now, of course, there are people who live in areas unaffected, and they're getting one side or the other of the story, and they're going to be influenced by that. But people who are in the places that the volunteer brigades are, because they're sort of enforcing ideological rule and trying to control populations, are the volunteer brigades, the volunteer battalions, and they operate a lot like the SS. So they're not elite forces, they're just highly motivated and ideological. And the people that they're taking as human shields in a lot of these places are not necessarily identifying as ethnic Ukrainian, but have a large number of people that identify as ethnic Russian. One of the fears, of course, is that they may have let people they like leave, people who support them leave, and they're keeping actually anyone who might potentially be a Russia supporter in these historically Russian parts of Ukraine, and they're keeping them there as human shields. There's a lot of reasons why Russia can't move in and do that then, regardless of the ethnicity of the civilians. So this makes everything into a surgical operation, and it limits the ability to make use of certain assets, like surface-to-surface artillery and air assets. It means you have to send in boots, and you're going to be moving street to street, block to block, and taking higher casualties than you might otherwise. And this type of shooting with this type of artillery, rather with this type of stuff that you find in units that move on foot, still will destroy cities. You have a lot of firepower. Just it will look like it's been bombed when it's done, even though these are handheld weapons, and you're going to see the use of armored cars that have guns on them and things like that. It will look like it was bombed, even though it wasn't. So bear that in mind also. Conclusively, it appears that Zelensky is not in the country. Most probably, he is in Warsaw, Poland, at the U.S. Embassy. So that's actually U.S. soil. We've seen him now enough times, clearly not from the presidential office. And could he be in a bunker in Kiev? Well, yes, but why? Why would that be? If he's not safe in his office, he's not safe in a bunker. The city is surrounded by Russian forces, and you just have a civilian population there. That's effectively what's going on right now. So a lot of other things are basically noise. And I guess that's your update for the morning of March 7th.